This morning I want to talk about how we deal with disappointment. I think so much of our theology can be shaped by our fear of pain. We want to escape it. We want Jesus to take us out so we don't have to go through things. We want to find a way that we can speak to this ball of pain and just have it explode and move it off the planet. And you find as you walk with the Lord that that doesn't happen. Pain is a part of life, as is disappointment. But God has other answers for us. And I think we need to really just face this thing of disappointment. We all go through it. Religion tries to get us to hide from it, pretend it's not there. And all we do is just bury things when we do that. And we don't get resolution and answers from the Lord in that state. We need to be transparent.
Amen.
Disappointment comes to us just lost. You can tell. I've been to a memorial service yesterday when we realize we lose people we love. Disappointment comes to us when we believe God for things and prayers seem to go unanswered. Or God answers, but not the way we expect it. My Aunt Vanjie, when she was in the hospital a few days before she passed, the doctors were kind of amazed and said she's going to be going home. She was getting better. So her husband, my Uncle Jim, and the children were really happy about it, and Vanjie's going, "I'm going home." Within 24 hours, her lungs filled with fluid, and she passed away. She went home. A prayer being answered, she went to her true home. Her whole life, from the time she was a child, was all about serving and loving God. But we go through disappointment when things don't go the way we think they should go. Go against the way what we desire. We would like to be taken out of the world because we can't seem to move this ball of pain and get it out of the way. But Jesus said in John 17:15, "I do not ask you to take them out of this world, but keep them from the evil one." And the Message Bible adds, "They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world." Jesus never said he would take us away from the pain. And for those that are believing to be raptured out before the tribulation, you might have problems with what follows in this word. But he said that we're going to be in this world, we're not of it, and that there's to be provision by the Spirit to keep us from the evil one. So in other words, we're to be here to experience heaven on earth. Peace, joy, and righteousness. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. The statement was made yesterday that really kind of stuck with me. This person said, I've got to see if I can say this the right way. "We get frustrated because we try to find meaning from our circumstances. Instead, we need to bring meaning to our circumstances." I like that. In our mind, we suffer disappointment because we try to figure things out and we come to the conclusion that life is not fair.
Yep.
But our mind does not provide the answer for the sense of disappointment. There's something in our spirit that will dispel that and heal us of that.
Amen.
Think about the Jews during the time of Jesus. They were very disappointed in him, and they did not see him as the Messiah. Because in their minds, the Messiah was to rescue them from the Roman oppression. He didn't do that. What did Jesus say? "My kingdom is not of this realm." He said, "I can call angels down. I can do whatever." But the Jewish people remained in captivity to the Roman Empire. Not only during the time of Jesus, the early church, birthed by the power of God's Spirit, miracles taking place. Yet, the Roman Empire continued on. You had people like Nero. I mean, you couldn't ask for a worse leader. Maybe Hitler. I don't know. Those have got to be the top two as far as most oppressive leaders in history. Horrible things were happening to people. AD 70, destruction of the temple, millions killed, just horrible things taking place. They were in the world. Jesus didn't provide a way of escape and take them out of it, nor did he wipe out the Roman Empire. They weren't of the world. His spirit kept them from the evil one. And the believers during that time enjoyed great victory. They were overcomers, great joy. And even the ones put to death, you read testimonies of how they, with joy, gave up their life. Why would someone do that? We, by human nature, you know, our nature is self-preservation. It's all about fear and holding on. To be able to go and say, I willingly give up my life, it means someone else's life is more real to you than your own flesh. That's how real the resurrected Lord was to the early church. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. That's what I feel when I get the disappointment. That's what it feels like. I feel crushed. Traumatized. But it says the Lord is near to us. The Message Bible says, if your heart is broken, you'll find God right there. Romans 5:5. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope never disappoints. Here's the important thing. Our human thinking will always lead down a path to disappointment. When we're disappointed in God and that he has not come through for us like we wanted, we're disappointed in ourselves at the same time. God, if only I was a better person, you would have answered my prayer. If only I would prayed harder, longer, found a different formula that worked. We blame ourselves, we blame God. That's a result of feeling disappointed. That is a mental state and emotional. Hope never disappoints. From the Spirit comes hope, faith, love. And these are the qualities that heal and dissipate the sense of disappointment. He doesn't remove your circumstances, but in your circumstances, you're aware of the Holy Spirit that's been given to you and the love of God that's been poured out in your heart. And the more that we're aware of his love, the less we feel disappointed in life. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like Jesus, it's one thing to say we want authority over the waves. How often have we prayed for that? Our circumstances, the waves of life, the storms of life. I want authority. I want to end them. Well, first you've got to be able to sleep in the boat during the storms. It's when we can rest in God, not be disappointed, but be in that state of hope, sleeping in the boat, then we have the authority to stop the storms that are outside the boat. 2 Kings 4, we were there last week about the Shunammite woman and how she made a place in her home for Elisha. Can I finish that story? Elisha, who was staying with her, said, ask me anything. What do you want? She wants a child. Impossible. She doesn't believe it can be done. Guess what? The word of God is spoken. She has a child. Child's growing up. You remember what happens to that child?
Yep.
Child dies. And the Shunammite woman is just, of course, disappointments. Too soft a word to use. She's crushed in spirit. She's beside herself. God gave her this child. This is a miracle from God.
Amen.
Now he's dead. And if you read on in the chapter, she goes to Elisha herself and she expresses her disappointment to him. Again, transparency, honesty before God. When we feel the disappointment, the loss, what do we need to do? Go to the source. God is the one that made the promise. Go to him. And let's be open before him. And she says to him, verse 30 of chapter 4, 2 Kings, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. Yeah, this is perplexing to me. It's like this woman is upset, and rightfully so. You give me this child, and now the child is taken from me. It'd be better if I never had a child than to know this kind of pain. And yet, at the same time, she's clinging to Elisha. She says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm holding on here. Of course, you know what follows? The child is resurrected and healed. I think we're that way, though, too. We have the two sides. We have a side that doubts, that leads to disappointment. We have a side of us that there's faith and hope in God. And there's a tension between those two sides. God does not want us to pretend that we have no doubts. He wants us to be honest and transparent before Him with our doubts. And what you'll find is, God, I don't know why you're putting me through this. This makes no sense. I don't like it. But I still love you and I cling to you and I hold to your word. That's a spiritual response. The purpose of disappointment is to cause us to let go of our relationship with the Lord and His word to our heart. What He's given us, like this woman, the son, will seem to die. Anything God brings into your life, you're going to go through times where you feel like you've lost it. The purpose of that is He will resurrect it. Resurrection has no meaning unless there's death. And that resurrection power in God in us has no meaning unless the kernel of wheat can fall into the ground and die. So God can bring it forth and bear much fruit. John chapter 11. You know this story. Friend of Jesus, Lazarus, is very sick. Word comes to Jesus that, you know, Lazarus, your friend is sick, come heal him. Now, what do the people know that are coming to Jesus? They know that He can heal the sick, because He's demonstrated that. He delays an extra couple days. Lazarus dies. We too, you can imagine the disappointment. And Martha and Mary both express it later in the chapter. The disappointment we feel in life over God's timing.
Amen.
God, you could have done something here and made this all better. I asked you 100,000 times. I think the problem here is not that we're not persistent. When we want something or we're hurting, we let God know about it.
Amen.
And we keep letting them know about it. And there's delays. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His timing is different than us. He's not imprisoned in this realm of time and space.
Right.
So what happens is we get disappointed. Interesting thing, what he says here. I want to say this. God resurrects what He has started to open our eyes to see Him in new ways. And that's the whole thing, this thing with Lazarus. Lazarus had to die so God could show those that were there the glory of God in a way they'd never seen before. But what his response is, Jesus says, this sickness is not fatal. I don't know about you, but my definition of death is fatal. I kind of combine the two words. He said it's not fatal. And then later he says, Lazarus is dead. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Verse 14. Lazarus, first he says it's not fatal, then he says Lazarus is dead. Which is it? Well, both. To Jesus, death was not fatal. Jesus knew that Lazarus was dead, and in human terms, we're disappointed. That's the end of the story. Jesus said, no, that's not the end. Lazarus has more time. So he comes to Martha, and Martha begins to question him. If you had only been here, my brother would not have died. What's she doing? She is so disappointed, she's blaming Jesus. We knew you could heal. If you'd only been here, everything would be okay. You missed the timing, Jesus. You're too late. See, disappointment, when it fills our mind, there's no awareness of God's greatness. All we see is the human limitation. Jesus doesn't condemn her for this, because they didn't know he could raise the dead. Martha, Mary, those around there, they weren't having faith for Jesus raising someone from the grave. Their faith was that he could heal the sick. And he was about to do something new. And right before this great miracle, is there a great atmosphere of faith? People praying for a revival? No. Martha, Mary, coming up to Jesus and saying, "Why did you let this happen?" Disappointment coming out. She says to him, "Even now I know what you ask of God, he will give you." There's that other side. Remember the tension between doubt and faith? Why did you let this happen, Jesus? My brother's dead because you're late. But I know that with you, anything's possible. There's that faith. And Jesus answers, "Your brother will be raised up." There's the word. Martha responds, "I know who'll be raised up at the end of time." And Jesus said, "You don't have to wait till the end. I am right now the resurrection and the life." We see how the doctrine becomes a living word and revelation of the Lord to the heart of Martha, don't we? We all have these doctrines. Martha's in great pain, great disappointment, and yet she's trying to respond to Jesus the right way, religiously. "I know my brother will be raised up at the last day." And Jesus is looking at her saying, "You're looking at the resurrection." You see, he's opening up something brand new to not just Martha, but all of them there, of who he is. He's revealing the glory of the Father. In an atmosphere of disappointment and disillusionment and confusion, the love of God is being expressed in such a tremendous way. Oh. We need to face our disappointment and be honest with God. And then he says, "Roll away the stone." And when the stone is rolled away, they can see Lazarus is alive. And of course, they unwrap the grave clothes. Roll away the stone. God can do a miracle. God has done miracles. But the stone can prevent us from being aware of it. What would have happened if nobody rolled away the stone? Boy, Lazarus had been really upset and in a state. Here he's alive, wrapped up in grave clothes, and it's dark. What happened? What's going on? Roll away the stone. That's a word to us. What is the stone? Unbelief, fear, doubt. I'm going to give it a new word this morning. Disappointment.
Amen.
Roll away the stone of disappointment, and you will see what God has done in your life and what he's doing. You'll see the resurrection life. He didn't say, "Get a stick of dynamite and blow up the stone." He didn't say, "Get your chisels out and let's just work away at this." This is not a course in self-improvement.
Amen.
There's a stone that blocks our awareness of who the Lord is in us. He just said, "Roll it away." We're disappointed, we leave it in place, because that is a stone of disappointment. Removing it, rolling it away, I think is that side of us that's just that faith and hope in him. I don't care what doubts go through your mind. Every man and woman of God in the Word had those same doubts. Elijah, a person of like passions as us. It's called being human. Being human is not the stone. But even in our humanity, let's be aware of that hope and faith. We know what it looks like, but once the disappointment is rolled out of the way, we see it the way God sees it. That's what life can be. That's what destiny is. If you're waiting to be rescued out of this thing, I don't think it's going to happen. I could be wrong. If we're all raptured out next week, then I'll be the first to say I'm wrong. I'm not looking forward to tribulation. I don't like pain. I don't like suffering. I hate feeling disappointed. But we're in this world. God's put us here so that we can see by our faith that stone rolled away and the glory of God revealed. This is a process where God is going to be seen through his people and be the testimony to the world that God is moving and is alive. Amen. Lord, bless the word to our hearts this morning. Thank you. Let's stand.